Hello, developers, and welcome to the PHP Architect Community Corner podcast, where we have members of the web development community. I'm your host, Scott Keck Warren, and today we're talking with Lila Jones about her talk at PHP Tech 2026 and her plan for activated leaders. Lila is a keynote speaker, educator, and thought leader committed to helping individuals and organizations embrace change and step into their next chapter with courage and confidence. Over the past two decades at global tech giants like Microsoft and Google, she developed deep experience in leadership development, personal growth, and building high-performance teams. Along the way, she designed programs that foster psychological safety, feedback cultures, and trust, because the best teams thrive in authenticity and resilience. Today, she brings that same passion to her work on the Activated Leader Framework, which she created to help ambitious leaders break free from stagnation, take bold action, and lead with clarity and confidence. Whether through her keynotes, transformational coaching, or practical workshops, her mission is to empower people to move beyond fear and uncertainty into their most courageous and impactful selves. Thank you, Lila, for spending some time with us today.
No problem. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that you're working on is the activated leader. Can you tell us a little bit about what the activated leader is and what you're doing with it?
Of course, I would love to. It's my jam. So yeah, activated leadership is something I talk about often. And here's where it came from, Scott. People ask me, Lila, how have you been able to successfully go through certain transitions in your life? Big ones like moving from, you know, smaller companies to bigger companies, stepping into larger roles, managing through the challenges in life. And when I really had to think about the thing that was super helpful and the steps that I would take, it's what I used to create the Activated Leader. It's the steps that I've taken and I've helped my clients take to manage through transitions. And those four steps are very simple, Scott. They are find the core issue, take resonant action, manage the messy middle, and then prepare for acceleration, make room for success. And so now I not only teach people that, I have a newsletter. Every week, I make coaching very accessible by putting tips and tricks and also different activities and exercises people can do to work on any transition they may be going through. And I'm excited to bring this to your organization as we talk about how to transition during this very interesting time in tech.
Yes, absolutely. So I think it's like a really interesting kind of concept because, like, especially like in tech, there's a lot of change, right? There's not only is there change, like we were just acquired by another company, and that's dealt with like a bunch of change, and so, but there's also like you going to like a different job, right? So is this something you can manage both ways with this type of a system?
Yeah, it applies to any change, Scott. So all of those are change, be it a reorg or a layoff or, hey, I've got to change the way I, you know, create and manage software. All of those things, anything that takes us out of our default programming or our default way of being, equals a transition. And so this methodology applies to all of those.
Okay. And so can you tell me a little bit about like what, so like the messy middle is an interesting kind of concept. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that is?
Oh yeah, we all know that one. And I always like to talk about it in the context of dating, because hopefully most people have dated at some point. And you think about the fact that you might be with a partner that is not the best partner for you, but you kind of live with it for a while and then you finally decide, okay, I need to end this. But a lot of times, that time right after you end it, you feel like, oh man, I'm a little bit lonely, or oh man, I miss them, or oh man, I haven't found another partner yet, or oh man, I got to figure out all these apps. And it's that messy middle where you haven't started to see success yet. You've already taken a resonant step away from or changed something, but you don't have anything around that you can scan to say like, that was a good idea. And that's usually when people fall back into whatever they used to do before. I was talking to a client today that made a transition from working for an organization to starting her own SaaS company. And it was wonderfully successful until it wasn't. And when it wasn't successful, she immediately went into, oh my gosh, I didn't do well. I must be a failure. I can never be an entrepreneur. I need to go back to doing what I was doing before. And she kind of reverted back to where she was before. That's not a bad thing, but the messy middle can sometimes make it such that we're like, oh my gosh, I'm not seeing any results. So even though what I used to do wasn't wonderful, I'm going to go back to doing that. And we've all had those experiences. So that's the messy middle.
Yeah. And I always like, I'm a big fan of like consistency. Like a lot of times, like people expect you know, to just like immediately be successful at something. Like it's something that like I've had to work with on my kids is like, they're just like, well, I can't do this. So I should just like quit. Right. And like, that's that messy middle where it's like, you get past the fun bit and then you're into like the kind of the job part of it. Right. Where you're trying to work your way through everything.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I always talk to people about taking the right action or taking aligned action and disconnecting from the outcome. Imagine how many things are possible if you can take action and not worry about the outcome. So in other words, when you're in a role or you're doing an activity or you're doing something that's so aligned with who you are and what you would do naturally that you enjoy it, and it doesn't really matter what the outcome is. That's one of the best places to shoot for.
Yeah. And so like, so how is it that people like, obviously, so you have a newsletter and like you can, people can consume this kind of concept through your newsletter. But you also do like one-on-one training or group trainings, or how does that work?
Great question. So I coach one-on-one and I do workshops for people. So when organizations really, so either we can do something where it's one-on-one. So for instance, I have a transition program where people are saying, hey, Lila, I need to get from here to here, but I'm stuck. I'm really stuck. And for whatever reason, even though I kind of know what I should do, I'm not able to take the steps. And typically it's because whatever they're shooting for may or may not be aligned with what they actually want. So they need some help doing that. And so I help them with that. When I think about corporations, I work with them on workshops to say, hey, our team is stuck. Maybe the year is just starting off and you've got a huge goal you have to go after. And we're just stuck in analysis paralysis, or we're not moving forward. And so I have programs that I bring to help with that. And then finally, you know, I talk about keynotes, and I'll be doing a keynote for your organization where I do that in a group, a version of that in a group. So between the newsletter, individual coaching, workshops that I do for organizations, and keynotes, that's how I like to share the message and get people activated.
Yeah. So I think those are all like really excellent ways to like to get that kind of communication through. So you're talking about like, you might do like a mentorship type situation where like you work with somebody like every week to try to work them through their process. Is that kind of like the that first piece, that one-on-one call?
Yep. So great question.
Or is it?
Yep. Great question. So it's 3 calls over 6 weeks with 2 really specific either Loom videos or things that they can work on that are tactical in between. And we get together over Zoom or Google Meet and we work through a plan. At the end of it, they will have clarity of what they're trying to do. They have a 90-day roadmap along with templates and emails that they can send out to help with their network. We reframe and reposition their LinkedIn if that's a part of it. And I have a number of things that I have them do in between sessions to work on both their narrative and their language that they're using to talk about the impact that they have. And then also to help them reach out and extend past what they think they know or can be done with their network. And it depends. Each person's a little bit different, but that's on average what happens.
Yeah, I always find it's like, it's a little sticky to try and like go like, hey, I got to reach out to my network and ask them to do something. It's like as me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's always like a challenge to get through that, to be like, hey, would you guys buy my thing? It would be really great.
Yeah, it is difficult when you're starting cold like that. But typically the network part is not till like session 2.5. And by that time, we've got clarity of purpose, clarity of goal, clarity of reasoning, and clarity of who the right person is to reach out to, so that when you do reach out to them, you're not saying, hey, buy my product. You're saying, hey, I'm Scott. Here's the last 3 projects I worked on. My goal is to do this thing over the next 6 months. I'm wondering if you could help me with my perspective on such and such role. It's much different.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so like in a group setting, like how is it that kind of different? So like you go like on site, or you do like a Zoom meeting type of a situation?
So both. Both okay. In person and virtually. And so it just depends on what the challenge is. If, you know, let's just say the challenge right now, I feel like a lot of people are dealing with reorgs and landing new leadership. And, you know, they've got new leadership. Maybe the teams are disconnected and they need to work on a series of things. And so we put together a series of workshops that will touch on everything from how to give and receive feedback, or how to embrace change, or how to think about advocacy, or how to think about your one-on-ones with your leadership team or with your team, and how do you structure those. And so there'll be a mix of employee soft skills in there, along with messaging that at a high level around this activation concept that I mentioned, right? Find the core issue, take resonant action, manage the messy middle, prepare for success. So usually we group those together. And again, it can be in person or virtually, but it's always, again, helping people see what skills they have that they can use, not just more tools, and reinforcing that message of activation.
Yeah, I think like all of those are like important things. All of the things that you listed out as being like things that you come and talk to people about are really important. Just because like we do have trouble giving feedback, like in tech, I should say, in tech, we tend to be terrible at giving feedback. It's just like one of those things that we're not, I'm bouncing myself in the face. It's just one of those things that we're not very good at. I've just, every team that I've ever been on, like we've had to work on people's feedback cycles. It's always just been like not good or good and not like given any information. So I think that would be very helpful for just that piece is probably helpful for like most teams in general.
That one is very popular, especially in tech. The other one in tech that's very popular is storytelling. So not just trusting your data to tell the story, but actually being able to kind of craft a story that's compelling without sounding inauthentic is another one that's super popular.
Yes, that also sounds very interesting as well. And we'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Building PHP applications is your passion. Managing cloud infrastructure shouldn't be your headache. Displace is your partner in cloud infrastructure orchestration, giving solo developers and small teams the tools and automation to deploy enterprise-grade Kubernetes clusters without enterprise-grade complexity or cost. Their CLI tool streamlines everything from local development to fully managed cloud deployments on AWS, Azure, GCP, and more. Skip the steep learning curve of Docker, Kubernetes, and Terraform. Let our automation free you to focus on your core business without losing control over your infrastructure. Get started at displace.tech and discover how the right tools can eliminate the need for a full DevOps team.
And so I guess like the last piece that we haven't talked about is like the group, the like the conference setting. So you are going to be one of the keynote speakers at PHP Tech 2026. Can you give us like a little bit of an introduction into what it is that you're going to be talking about? Obviously, it's probably a lot about what we did here, but what can we kind of expect in that keynote?
So I can tell you that it's going to be interactive. And when I do my keynotes, they are a mix of music, movement, and instruction and tools. So prepare to learn, but also to engage with each other. And in that keynote, I'll be going through those four phases with activities in between. So we'll walk through each phase and we'll do something right in the room. Like we'll have a transformation right there in the room and people will leave with, oh, okay, here's something that I've actually now looked at from that perspective and applying that methodology and something actionable that they can go and do to have an impact the very next day or week or whenever they're back in their office. So you can expect to actually have applied learning of the activated leadership methodology in that session.
Okay. Well, that sounds really, I always like the keynote speeches can sometimes be a little
boring.
Dry. And so it's always really helpful to have some sort of like interactive piece so you're not like falling asleep, especially if it's like the last day.
I know, right?
So
I
look forward.
The people who have gone through my sessions, they usually say, hey, you know what? That is exactly what we needed. I learned more about the people at my table than I would have if, you know, we hadn't done this. And they are like, wow, like this is something that I can actually use. And I get notes all the time afterwards of people saying, hey, I went to one of your sessions 3 weeks ago and here's what the outcome has been. And so I'm a huge fan of outcomes. I spent over 20 years in tech working for some of the largest organizations out there, most recently Google. And, you know, that was always about 10X. How can we 10X outcomes? And so now I 10X outcomes for people.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds really, really, really fascinating to talk about at the conference. Is there anything else that you want to like kind of touch base on? I have some like blog posts that I'd like to ask you about if we're good with like the rest of it, or is there other stuff that you'd like to
cover? No, I think we've covered it.
Okay, good. Because I think that's a good like introduction. So I think like, what I do when I'm like, I have a guest, and this is like really behind the scenes, is like I go visit all the stuff, right? I looked at your LinkedIn. I like cyberstalked you. I looked at your LinkedIn. I looked at your website, and you have a nice blog where you have like a bunch of really cool articles. And so like one of them that I really found fascinating, and I've lost the tab, is you talking about emotional intelligence. And like I always find emotional intelligence to be one of these things that is maybe lacking within like the tech space. And so can you give us like a brief overview of like so the actual blog post I'm looking at are emotions are information, how emotional intelligence makes you a better tech leader, not weaker. And so like can you talk to us a little bit about like why that is? Because I think it's like really important for not only for leaders, but for just anybody to kind of understand.
Sure. And I think I can apply it even beyond tech. A lot of times we hear things like you know what? Your emotions have no place in the office, or, you know, you have to put on a certain mask to be in the office, or, hey, you know, it's not personal. It's just business. It's just business, right? And we hear these things all the time, and that makes us feel like we almost have to be this different superhero kind of person in order to do our roles or to live in the context of a work environment. And so when we get triggered, or if someone upsets us or something happens where we feel a sensation, I love to tell people to lean into that instead of being afraid of it, because it's information and data. If you're constantly going into a meeting and you come out when your stomach is in knots, that's information, that's data. I'll give an example. I worked for a leader that was incredibly difficult to deal with. He was difficult to deal with from a personal perspective. He was difficult to deal with in meetings. And he typically had very anti-culture types of sayings and ways about his just general demeanor. That was difficult. I found that every time I was in a meeting with him, it was incredibly difficult to stay positive. I'm a positive person. I would be like, oh my goodness, it is so, everybody in the room just felt like he was draining everything out of them. That was information. That's something to listen to, not to endure. And so I was like, you know what? This is probably not a good use of my time. This particular person as a leader is never going to probably help me in my career. Let me validate that. And instead of trying to figure out a way to change myself so that I can please him, or, you know, get on his good side or figure out how to make this work, I'm just going to change roles. This is not a good use of my time. We are not aligned, and that's okay. Let's just call it not a good fit. That's an example of using your emotions instead of being defeated by it or feeling like I don't have any choices or options, or, you know, let me change myself to make the leadership like, that's crazy. That's nuts. That's too much work. And even if you are successful in doing it, A, those people tend to get reassigned. And so you're like, wow, I did all that work and now it's somebody different. And so you're always kind of doing this dance of trying to, you know, toe the line. And then it's not sustainable. You're like, why is work so hard? Probably because you're playing a completely different role that's not aligned with you. So using your emotions as data and being okay with that, and anticipating it instead of being caught off guard and falling apart, or realizing that it's okay to have feelings about things, and let's let feelings come into these meetings. Let's not pretend like, you know, we need to be this incredibly sterile, almost like machine type of a person in order to be successful. That's it.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan. So like I have the whole thing is like, my whole thing is like, all emotions are valid. And so I always am like, I want to make sure that people feel like comfortable having emotions in front of me. But I like, this like resonates with me so hard, because I used to work for a company and it was a very toxic work environment. And like the boss was toxic, but he wasn't aware, or like, he didn't notice it, right? He just was not aware of like how he was, he was impacting the culture of like the group. And like, the people who were also there were also very, very toxic. And so it just created like a very toxic environment. And I was like, I don't want to work here. So I left. You know what I mean? Like that's the situation you're in, is if you have like a toxic and like boss, I think a lot of times it then becomes a toxic environment, and then people aren't going to stay, because why would you work there? Because like my bosses that are great, that have that emotional intelligence, I would go back to them. You know what I mean? I wouldn't ever go back to this guy, but I would go back to like 6 or 7 other bosses that have been just amazing.
So. I couldn't agree more. It's the difference between being a good manager and a good leader. People say, well, I want to be a good manager. Do you? There's not very many articles about great managers, but there's tons of articles about great leaders. And great leaders have emotional intelligence. They bring out the best in their people. They allow feelings to show up. They know how to use that and leverage to get the best out of their team so that everybody wins. And it's a win-win, not just about them and their ego, which is very challenging, especially when you've got new leadership or changes. Everybody's trying to figure out a way to show their value or to show that they're important. And there's all of this extra political stuff that happens that's not really necessary. Good leaders build their people and they leave a good track record behind them, right? They leave a good wake. If you know voting, what a wake is, they leave a good wake. That's very simple to do. And when we can keep it very simple like that and allow people to not only thrive, but grow in their roles and in their careers as leaders, then we're doing our job. That's what we're there to do. So I'm a huge fan of, again, whole person comes to work, because then you get amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're just about the end of our time, unfortunately. Is there any place that you'd like to direct our listeners to before we let you go for today? Uh-oh.
So wait, the best place for people to connect with me is just subscribe to my newsletter. Join the community. Every week on Tuesday, I share information that will help you in any transition that you may have. And it's pretty entertaining. It's pretty fun. So I think you'll enjoy it.
Awesome. And I actually subscribed to the newsletter because I think I can actually learn a lot from what you're talking about. So yeah, so I'm on board. I'm really looking forward to the keynote at Tech and everything. So I do appreciate you you spending some time and talking with us today.
Of course. The newsletter is my way to democratize coaching. Not everybody is ready for coaching or whatever. And so I like to share information to make it useful for other people to get forward in their careers and in their lives.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate all the time, all your time today. Thank you very much.
No problem, Scott.
I have to say another heartfelt thank you to Lila for all of her time as well as for yours for listening. If you're not a subscriber, make sure you subscribe with whatever your preferred method is so you can get their episodes when they're released, and maybe leave us a review in your favorite podcast application so other people can find us. This podcast is available both in an audio version on the PHP Architect website as well as a video version on our YouTube channel. This is Scott Keck Warren for the PHP Architect Community Corner signing off and reminding you to keep listening, keep coding, and keep reading.